Death both baffles and frightens us, and the rituals, ceremonies, and obligations that surround it only seem to add to the confusion. Caitlin Doughty, a 2002 graduate of St. Andrew's Priory who became a licensed mortician, traveled the world to compare the American way of death to customs, rituals, and ceremonies around the world. The result is her new book, From Here to Eternity, Traveling the World to Find the Good Death. We began our discussion by looking at the way American society expects us to care for a loved one.
The funeral industry doesn't make it easy either. They're not trying to make it simpler for the family to handle.
It often seems to me that the funeral industry creates a sense of obligation. You know, you need to honor the loved one by buying an expensive box, that kind of thing.
They do, and that's how the entire industry is set up, both in the laws, in the regulations, in the funeral homes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And unless there's real reform, there's no way to get out of that cycle.
Well, no bereaved family wants to go in and start haggling over price, right?
No. And you're made to feel tacky about it, and that it's just embarrassing and undignified to have questions about why this casket is $10,000.
Yeah. Well, how did this come into your life? How did you learn all that you've learned about the business? Kind of from the inside, right?
Yeah, absolutely from the inside. I got my first job, well, I was born and raised in Hawaii, and Hawaii is not, as you know, a place filled with death and darkness.
Right.
It's generally a pretty lovely, beautiful place to be.
That's what we like
but
about
I
it.
I was a pretty morbid child, though. I was interested in death, and I moved to the mainland for college. And after college, I got my first job at a crematory in Oakland in California.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting to see what was going on behind the scenes there and all the things that the funeral industry just doesn't tell you about what actual real death is like.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things should people know that they aren't told?
I think the number one thing is that people should know that they can be legally as involved as they want to be. If you want to sit with mom, you know, for a day and have her at the house and just have a funeral and have the whole family over to your house,
mm-hmm.
you can do that. If you want to be there for the cremation to witness mom being loaded into the machine or when she's buried, you want to be there, you are legally allowed to be there, and you shouldn't let a funeral director tell you what you can and can't do with your own family member.
The very title funeral director kind of describes a situation where an entire family, many of whose members are very independent otherwise, submit to the direction of a total stranger who pretty much tells them how it's going to be.
You're right. That's a really good point. I prefer the term mortician. It's an old-fashioned term,
yeah.
But I like it because, you know, beautician, practitioner of beauty, esthetician,
yeah.
practitioner of whatever. And so I think that mortician, practitioner of death makes more sense, because funeral director, you know, just directing funerals, you're right. It's putting ideas into a family's head. It's presuming that the professional knows more than the family about what's best for the family, how they want to mourn.
Well, if you're selling a product and you want to be able to just set your own price and not get a lot of back chat about it, you want to make yourself into a director and pretty much take that posture of I'm the one who knows, and you need to just kind of go along with this. And, you know, people who've just lost somebody, they're not in a mood to argue.
They're not in a mood to argue. And I don't want to sound like I'm just out and out bashing funeral directors here. A lot of funeral directors don't even know what the laws are. So if they're telling a family, oh, you need to embalm the body and chemically preserve the body before you can have a wake,
mm-hmm.
or you're not allowed to witness the cremation, or you're not allowed to keep mom at home for a couple of hours, they very well might not be trying to run this whole scam on you. It might be that they have entered a business and were told a certain thing,
yeah.
and they just don't know what the actual laws are.
That's true of probably in a lot of areas.
And in a lot of areas, but the laws are very pro-consumer, and they're very about the family being able to make the right decision for them, and that's how it should be.
Sounds as if the best path is to find out what those laws are, yeah?
Exactly. And really, in Hawaii, they're pretty good. you're allowed to really not use a funeral director if you want to. Most people will want to. It's not a logistical task that they want to take on themselves.
Sure.
But just know that if you want to come in and do mom's hair, or if you want to help put her lipstick on or put her in her favorite sweater, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to do that.
Well, you know, Caitlin, especially in your new book, you've traveled the world to find out the many different ways, rituals, and customs that people that accompany death in other cultures, yeah?
Yeah. It was an amazing opportunity to get to travel everywhere from Indonesia to Bolivia to Mexico to Europe to Japan. And I think Japan, for our Hawaii listeners, Japan is one of the most interesting places because we obviously have such a large Japanese population, but also the Japanese people have some of the most interesting technology and innovation around death in the entire world.
What kind of technology? That's a surprise to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've ever been to Tokyo, the fact that they're connected to technology wouldn't be that big of a surprise.
Yeah.
But what I loved about Japan is that they still respect the dead body, and they want to be around the dead body, and they want to honor the dead body. But then after the cremation takes place, and they have a 99% cremation rate, by the way, it's the highest in the world.
Uh-huh.
After the cremation takes place, I went to several places. One, which is a big, several-story place that they store ashes right off the subway, where you go in and there's a little altar with a grave in it and incense and flowers, and there's a little hole right in the middle of the grave. And you use a tap card, like a subway card, on a keypad, and it goes boop, 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 and it whirs, and a robot arm goes into the bowels of this place, plucks out your mom and brings her ashes into the grave and deposits it there so you can have your moment and do your prayers and then get back on the subway and go back to work.
That's completely amazing, Caitlin.
Isn't it? And there's all sorts of stuff like that in Japan. There's a corpse hotel where at any time of the day and night you can come visit, you know, they'll put dad out for you in your own individual room, and there's a place that you can stay overnight with the bodies if you want that. There's LED columbariums that are 360 degrees of glowing Buddhas that have ashes behind them. It's really amazing what they're doing there, and it makes you realize how the U.S. is so against that kind of innovation when it comes to death.
You know, I can imagine, Caitlin, that for you as a writer, putting this book together was full of moments like the subway moment in which you said, I've really got something here.
It was, and it's sometimes it's hard for me to tell because I'm such a death geek, such a death nerd. I'm so interested in this topic and always have been. So I'll be at the Corpse Hotel, for instance, and just be thinking, this is amazing. I want one of these. Or I'll be in rural Indonesia and see a family taking care of their mummified grandmother in their own home. And I'll think, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And then you just hope, as a writer, that you can translate that enthusiasm and how interesting it really is and how different from the United States it really is when you actually write the book.
Caitlin Doughty is a 2002 graduate of St. Andrew's Priory and the author of From Here to Eternity, Traveling the World to Find the Good Death. It'll be released October 3rd. Caitlin is now a licensed mortician, author, and blogger. She founded the Order of the Good Death, which is a community of funeral industry professionals, academics, and artists who advocate for a more death-informed society. Since 2011, she has produced a series for YouTube called Ask a Mortician.